Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
I'm Randy Johnston, along with Brian Tankersley. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Tankersley. I've been in the profession since the early 90s, have been doing accounting technology since the late 90s on a professional basis. I've written a few hundred product reviews, and I've spoken in 48 states talking about accounting technology to CPAs.
And I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. I am so pleased to spend time with you today. I have been on the top 100 list since 2004, the top 25 list since 2011. I love to spend time in technology and with my family as well. I'm fortunate enough to have founded Network Management Group, which is a managed service provider, providing services from Boston to Honolulu. And my K2 business is how I met Brian, and it is how we've probably met many of you, producing CPE and PD in the US and Canada. We're so pleased to spend time with you on today's Technology Lab. Good day. Welcome to the Technology Lab. I'm Randy Johnston with my co-host, Brian Tankersley. We are so excited about today's session for you because we're going to cover CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. Brian and I have participated in this show for years. The announcements have much business impact this year with new processor chips and laptops and phones and 5G, and even to the edge of things that you might not think are so important, like smart glasses. Personal technology is also in play. We won't have time to talk about it at great length today, but the development in TVs and electric vehicles is a big deal as we see it. So that said, Brian, I was most impressed with what Intel and AMD both released at the show. Each company introduced a new line of processors and dedicated graphics. So what would you like to say about CES? And I'll ask you to speak to these companies.
Well, I wanted to speak to the processors specifically. You know, the processors, of course, are the core of every computer that you have. And Intel and AMD both came out with new families of processors that approach things differently. And so the world is changing very rapidly. The challenge here, of course, is going to be whether or not you can get those technologies because of the supply chain issues.
Yeah, understood on that. Now, the other thing we can't speak to on today's podcast is the performance difference between the two. We both know that both have radically improved performance to the point, if you've been waiting to buy a new laptop or desktop, as soon as those products are available, we're going to recommend that you make the jump. And part of the reason that that's happening is because in the Intel family, for example, they have introduced a new platform or an updated platform called Evo. Now, the Evo technology or Evo platform is about mobile first. And included in the Evo Generation 3 is Wi-Fi 6E, which is gig Wi-Fi service.
And you have to think about Wi-Fi 6E realistically as, instead of having four lanes on a highway, we're looking at a 30 lane wide highway. So it's a substantial improvement. However, a lot of the hardware is not going to be available to take advantage of it until the second half of the year.
Exactly. And as it turns out, there's other special techniques that they've put in their H series processor, plus they have created a new dedicated processor, graphics processor, which I consider to be quite important in this whole line. So, for example, Dell is going to introduce a new Precision laptop in February that complies with Evo third generation. So those are big deals, as we would see it from a chip perspective. But when you look at the big boys here with Intel and AMD, Intel introduced their KS, their H, and their P-series processors, and they also introduced new dedicated graphics processors. Now, over at AMD, they introduced their 6000 family of processors plus new dedicated processors as well. Both companies demonstrated that their new mobile platforms outperformed their legacy desktop highest-end platforms. Now, to give you a flavor for that, I'm running on an AMD 5950X, the fastest AMD processor available in the prior year. and I'm using a dedicated graphics processor. And compared to my laptop, which I will replace this year, I was able to render video in about 3 minutes that was taking me almost 90 minutes. 3 versus 90. These new laptops are going to run faster than my existing desktop, and I will replace the graphics processor with the new Radeon processors to pair up with my 5950X. For you, if you're an accountant that is either in public practice or industry, it is time to step up to these new platforms. And as Brian said, supply chain's going to be an issue. AMD processors are largely made in the TSMC plant in Taiwan, and there's indications that they actually have capacity. So part of the trick will be getting those little buggers onshore.
Yeah, you know, and when we look at some of the other things going on in the space, there are some new monitors, some new monitor technologies, like quantum dots, I believe it is, and quantum LED that are taking off. We're seeing headsets and glasses now to take advantage of these metaverses that have been promised. You know, Facebook, remember, has renamed themselves Meta because they hope to take you to a new meta world. And some of our accounting firms out there are actually buying real estate, virtual real estate, in these metaverses so that they can take advantage of those things and go forward.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in fact, you know, both of us talked about the monitors last year from ViewSonic, which were such beautiful portable monitors. I know you bought them as well. And ViewSonic introduced a new 17-inch portable monitor for their line, which is good. And the big monitor vendors all introduced new monitor technologies as well. One that was somewhat of specific interest to me was a monitor called the Samsung Arc, which is a curved monitor that has a significant curve to it. It's a 55-inch monitor, so if you've got limited desk space, I think it will fit better. It was somewhat targeted at gamers to have a submersive, you know, rocking chair type of experience, so you could sit in and actually have the monitor curve up over you. So much like the monitors that we recommended that could swivel from portrait to landscape and back, the Arc can do exactly that. Further, in prior technology labs, I believe we've spoken to the Lenovo glasses, and other players like Vuzix have done these same glasses. So you can now have the same experience as a monitor on a set of glasses. So that's a pretty big deal. Also, kind of in the monitor line, Samsung introduced a projector called the Freestyle. You know, I don't know how to give you the correct size of this, but if you put your hands in a circle, you know, it's got about a 4-inch radius to it and about 6 or 8 inches tall. And the fact of the matter is that it is a projector with sound, so you can use it in conference rooms or in a portable situation. It also runs off a battery, so there's, you know, a fair bit of flexibility with that. But as Brian has called out, the key to this hardware announcements or these hardware announcements is the lead time for the chips, the supply chain issues. So, Brian, I know you've been following that.
You know, I think the thing about the supply chain for chips is, you know, we all heard about during the holiday 2021 about the supply chain issues and the challenges and how many ships there were parked off of the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. One of the most informative graphs I saw was presented by the CEO of the Consumer Electronics Association, showing that the lead time for chips had basically doubled from around 11 months up to around 22 months. And so what that means is there are all kinds of chips that are holding up the production of specific products. I had a product that I ordered that I expected to have in March of last year that I only received in the summer of 2021. It took an extra year to get that product in because there was an inane chip that they couldn't get a hold of. Another example, you may have seen the pictures of all of the pickup trucks at the Kentucky Speedway that showed all of the pickup trucks that had been manufactured where they simply didn't have the chips they needed to complete the manufacturing process. So they made everything else and they're just waiting on the chips to plug into those processes. And that's been indicative of what we've seen. You know, things like graphics processors now are costing, you know, double and triple what what manufacturers' suggested retail prices are. And just like your used car may be worth more than you paid for it, your used graphics card almost assuredly is worth more than you paid for it at this point if you bought it in the last couple of years. So those supply chain problems are going to take at least a couple of years to fully abate. And we hope they'll get worked out sooner, but nobody knows.
Yeah. So just to clarify one thing that Brian said, the lead times went from 11 weeks to about 21 weeks, not months.
Excuse me.
And so, yeah, no worries. But I wanted to make sure that that was clarified. And, you know, one thing that I read in the public filings of large companies like Walmart, Target, and the like, is they figured out not to use the ports of Long Beach or Los Angeles, and they had no supply chain issues in their stores in the fourth quarter of 2021. So it's kind of a, you know, we're going to work our way around that, but I don't think the chip manufacturers have gotten to that level. Now, Brian, I know you had a number of different products. So first, I'm just going to frame it again. The hardware processor chips, the number of laptop announcements and desktop announcements you should anticipate are massive, and the monitors and so forth are all there. So you had some overall observations, I think, from CES, and I might just let you kind of go on a rant for a little bit.
Well, I would just say, first off, that these are going to be the first laptops that were really designed for heavy-duty use in a video conferencing role. You know, there have been, we have... Video conferencing has been an incidental thing until we hit the pandemic. And so the new chips and the new capabilities that are in the laptops now really support video at a much higher level than we've had in the past. And so I think that's a pretty big deal. We have Wi-Fi 6E is a new technology that's out. It basically takes you from having having a small amount of, you know, think of it as a four-lane interstate and going up to a 30-lane interstate or something like that, simply because it uses more spectrum and has more radio channels open to it, is another way of saying that. Many other things going on. You know, artificial intelligence is starting to make its way into our world. And you've heard us talk about artificial intelligence in accounting, where we're recognizing receipts and extracting data from them and other things like that. There's actually a John Deere technology, which I think is the best name ever, See and Spray, that uses AI to recognize different weeds in different row crops. And so it can identify, it looks at each individual plant and can identify whether or not it's a weed or whether it's desirable, you know, the crop. They can actually identify those things and either spray them with pesticide or not spray them. So it not only reduces the amount of pesticides, but it also uses AI to identify those things that are in there. And then we have data after that about what the threats are going forward and what kinds of weeds showed up in there. So, you know, and that artificial intelligence is making its way through in remote connectivity. You know, I've seen a huge rise in telemedicine. My wife's health plan that I'm on now offers telemedicine. So when I need to see a doc, I can simply see one virtually through my office. I can, you know, we also see virtual therapists and all kinds of other folks like this. We have connected fitness that played in some of our favorite TV shows lately, including the Peloton bikes and other pieces like that. You know, things are really changing quite a bit, Randy.
Yeah, understood. And, you know, as you were going through the items that were of interest to you, Brian, I also note that the 5G rollout was headlines during CES, because I still call him Mayor Pete, basically raised a lot of contention around 5G exposure at the airport and asked AT&T and Verizon to delay their release of their products. But, you know, January 19th became the official release date for the new C-band mid-band, which will give Verizon and AT&T 5G data coverage in a big way. So, you know, I just think about all these different approaches that are out there, and it really leads me to believe that the communications issues may begin to get resolved. Qualcomm had a number of 5G chip announcements. They expanded their Snapdragon line as well. And Brian and I have admired those products for a couple of years at least. I know in the 2019, I believe it was CES, Brian, we looked at the Snapdragon chip running Windows and he said, wow, this is very cool because the battery life was so bloody long. But there's other products that I believe that you can use in your business life, whether it's the Vuzix data glasses, digital glasses that I talked about earlier, but maybe even something as simple as a portable speakerphone. Audie's released a product called Work From Home, a very small fold-up speaker that winds up being about the size of your cell phone, which produces a very good experience from a speakerphone perspective, to the point you can have multiple people speaking on it and here in a room and so forth. There's also some other wireless technologies that were introduced. As Brian said, 6E will be the big thing, but it may be a little later in the year before we get that. But the consumer grade wireless company TP-Link introduced their AXE200 with Omni antennas. The antennas rotate automatically to detect the signal and optimize the Wi-Fi reception inside the product. And the key here, like Brian was talking about with John Deere and telemedicine earlier, AI algorithms drive that, and it's controlled by the app inside there. Now, I also continued to watch the evolution of the electric vehicles. In the past year, we've spoken about the Bright Drop program from General Motors, and there was expansions on the release there. But you also had another number of other big car and truck announcements, including the GM Silverado work truck.
And I will say that my brother-in-law's family has gone all in on electric. They've gone in and they have, my sister-in-law has one of the electric Mustangs, and my brother-in-law has ordered one of the F-150 Lightnings and is anxiously awaiting the arrival of it. So I think electric is hitting in some places. I personally wonder how much of the interest in electric is related to access to carpool lanes in many of our larger cities. I think they're interesting. I am seeing them much more often in flyover country where I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my wife definitely wants one so she doesn't have to deal with gasoline anymore. That having been said, I think right now we're looking really at V1 electric cars. And in 10 or 15 years, what we see will be radically different and operate quite differently than what we have today.
I agree. I think it is V1, but you know, I will just say on GM's truck compared to the Ford F-150, the 400-mile range with the 10 plug-ins that you can use, electric tools, the ability to charge another vehicle, all come into play. And GM's work truck price at $37,000 actually makes some sense to me. So I just kind of look at it and say, wow, what's going on out there? But, you know, we wanted to give you a quick overview of some of the most important things that were happening at CES this year. Our associate from Canada, Ward Blatch, also had some very interesting observations. He particularly was attracted to the ThinkBook 13X Gen 2, which had a charging mat and a wireless charger. That's of note, as I would see. And also the Dell XPS, he noticed, had, received a lot of attention. But, many other people that I talked to that are Dell buyers said, well, look, Dell put attention on the XPS and on the precision line, but what happened to the latitude line? There were not many announcements related to that, but there were
When I remember, the latitude line is a business enterprise line. And just like with, you'll see with HP and others, the consumer and gaming people will always get the new chips first. The latitude and elite book lines from HP and Dell, from Dell and HP respectively, are always going to get the chips a little bit later than the bleeding edge gaming world, because we're really worried about making sure everything is truly rock solid. So there's a lot more testing and a lot more integrating things into the existing platforms for forward backward compatibility, which is one of the reasons why we always recommend that you buy business grade, enterprise grade hardware, as opposed to buying stuff off the shelf at Best Buy.
Yeah. In fact, my point exactly, Brian, and thank you for making that clear, because, you know, in our training with Dell, you know, they've said that they will not release a new technology in the Latitude line for 14 months after its release. I don't know if that's still the standard, but that's what we've been told by Dell directly in the past. There were also some interesting headsets with Jabra on their new Google Fast Pair, and there were also some advancements in docking stations with the MiniStax STX. So again, you can just hear us kind of going on a rant, but the robots were out. There were robots for table service and drones that could do temporary 5G towers and the like. But you know, in the big picture, it was another good CES. The reviewers have published what they believe to be among the best portable and desktop computers that are out there, and we will refer those. In fact, could point you to many of these release informations off of the K2 website, where we have the press announcements all tied for CES. So, Brian, I know our time is on the verge of out. Any parting thoughts for our listeners in today's Technology Lab?
Like I said earlier, a lot of great new technology. Supply chain issues are going to be a significant issue. There's a lot of new chip foundries being built to address these issues. So they're going to expand the geographic diversity. And so that means we may have more of these things in places outside of China, which may get around some of the political woes that have slowed us down in some cases. We're going to have to see if Omicron gets us past peak mask and what's happening in here. A lot of interesting things going on, but I think that we've had a very successful year, and I think we've got a lot of new things in here, which is good because there hasn't been a lot of new stuff for a while. I think we're going to have to wait and see when these things actually become available and when you can actually get your hands on.
Yeah, thank you for that. And one other thing that we will be discussing in future lab settings is some of the privacy data security options. I attended enough different sessions with AI and data privacy discussions, really enjoyed the comments by Will Hurt as an example, and the representative from the EU and whatnot. But I'm going to warn you that the data privacy things will get pretty hot, and the AI things will continue to increase in importance in this coming year. So in any case, we thought a good CES summary would get you started, and we hope you enjoyed this session. You can tell we were excited about it too, and we're always pleased to give you the latest solid advice on what to do with technology. We'll see you in a future Technology Lab. Good day.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.